Please turn to Galatians chapter 5, page 1645. I didn't forget about you kids. Junior church, are you ready? You may be dismissed. I wanted to give your parents a chance to flip the pages. Galatians chapter 5, if the Pew Bible in front of you is what you're using, that's page 1645. Here they go, with energy. I love this. I wish everyone came into the auditorium with this expectancy and excitement. All right. Galatians chapter 5, we'll be looking, our text of Scripture is verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. All right, sounds like we're there now. I can always tell. The Bible reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Notice how it says the fruit, singular. You don't get half of these. If you're filled with the Spirit, you get all of them. You get the whole package. You know, as you travel different places in the world, you see things that are different, some things in the culture that is very opposite of what you're used to. And even though there might be differences between cultures and customs and different places, different types of people, in many ways, people are always people. And they do the same things, and they want the same things. It's just they have different ways of going about it, perhaps. Wherever you go, though, I find universally, people seek happiness. They want to enjoy life. If we're honest here, all of us want this. Nobody wants to be miserable in life. We all seek something that'll bring us happiness. Now, it's sad. The world is out there, and they're seeking their happiness, and they're fumbling around, and they're desperately seeking something to patch the holes that they have in their life and to temporarily get them through the day. And with the world, they're working so hard and they're straying to find this happiness, and they might find it, or it might be some kind of a sin, in which case it makes them feel good for a season, and then they're back to where they started. Or they find happiness, it's in a circumstance. This circumstance makes me happy, so I'm going to enjoy this and engage in this, but then the circumstance changes, and now what? The thing they had that they were counting on for their happiness is gone. And so now what? They don't have that thing to make them happy anymore. It was something that was only a temporary fix based on a circumstance. When things go wrong, then what? And it's like just a struggle to claw your way back and hope you can find something to fill that hole, hoping to find something that will help you with your dry life, something that'll make it fertile and grow. Now, as believers, we are very fortunate. We serve a good and loving God. And it is normal for Christians to have the joy the Spirit brings into our life. As believers, we should be the happiest people on the planet. We have every resource at our disposal. And as believers, we have the Lord with us. We have forgiveness from sins. We don't have to have the guilt of sin over our head. We don't have to worry about the future. If you've put your trust in Christ, you know that someday you're going to go to heaven. And so whatever problems you have now, someday they're going to hit the reset button. It'll be gone. You're going to be able to walk with God in heaven. And you have that. There's no fear anymore. There's nothing to worry about. Your greatest need has been met. And so the Lord can give us peace and joy. Now, even in trials, what if you have hardship? What if God brings you trials like our brother here? What if God brings you trials? You know what? I can still have joy. Joy is not in my circumstance. God can give me joy even in trial. And as believers go through times of difficulty and suffering, and they have joy in their spirit, and they're on their lips, they're praising the Lord. I think of Paul and Silas in prison. They've been beaten. They've been in chains. And what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. And it's starting to weird people out. And they're saying, what's happening? And people don't know what to think about them. And here they have a chance to share Christ. And as unbelievers see our joy and the freedom of spirit that we have, that God gives us, they don't know what to make of this. It's confusing to them because they don't have anything like it they can relate to. This is such a powerful testimony for us, is what the Lord can do in our hearts and the joy that he can bring. And so today I want to talk to you about finding your joy. Where do we find our joy? And I brought a visual illustration. Oh, yeah. What they say, the senior pastor is away. I won't finish. I have for you, this is pure 100% tap water. Just imagine, though, that it's from the mountains or something, or Tahiti, or who knows where. You can pay a lot of money. And this, also from the tap, not from Flint, Michigan. This is from my front yard. I added a special ingredient, and I think there's a worm in there. I threw a worm in there, but he is probably not alive. All right. You get where this is going, right? I'm thirsty. Which way should I go? I can drink this. Not going to work out. We can all agree with this. I won't actually do it. You know, I'm not really very adventurous as a person. People think that I am. They just assume. Like, you want to go skydiving? I say, no, I don't want to do this. This right here, I can drink this. This is, yeah. Very good. Excellent. Excellent water there. All right. What is disappointing, I should say, is when someone is a believer, they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Okay? They have the peace of God. They have the love of God. They have God's people. They have God's word. And they want joy in their life. And you know what I see a lot of believers doing? They forget that they're ever saved. And here they are with the world, drinking out of the very same pig trough that the world is, racing to find things to fill that emptiness. And they're going to fill up on this. This is shallow. This is temporary. This is, I have to maintain this. This is only fun for a season. Why would a believer drink this when they have what the Lord has to offer? They have the peace and the joy. They have the Spirit. They have the believers. They have the church. They have all these things. Why am I off over here trying to find something? Why am I dry? Why am I so empty? My question to you is, where do you seek your happiness from? Where do you seek your happiness from? What are you looking to? And I have put together three questions to determine where you're going to seek your happiness from. And based on these three questions, it'll tell me where you're at. All right, three questions. Question number one, to find the source of my question to you is this. Where is the source of your happiness? Now I will tell you what the world will say. You ready for this? The world will say to you, happiness is from without. I have to search for happiness. It's out there somewhere. I have to go find it. It must be discovered. Have you ever seen those 3D pictures? Well, first of all, I don't even know if it's a real thing or not, or if they just say that to make you feel funny as you stare at it, you go cross-eyed. You guys remember this, or am I old? Remember the 3D picture? You stare at it, and the image pops out after like 10 minutes, and you get headaches, and your eyes cross, and you start to drool. Then you're like, oh, it's a tree or whatever. It's an airplane. This is the way I feel a lot of unsaved people are. It's like I'm working so hard and I'm crossing my eyes and I'm doing all these things, standing on my head, trying to get myself through today, trying to find something that'll bring me happiness. For the unsaved person, it's a relentless task. It's a taskmaster, trying to find the thing that will make them happy, looking and searching. And the world tries so hard. And sometimes they can find something that temporarily will make them feel good. It goes up and then it's lost. Maybe if it's sinful, the Bible says that sin has pleasure for a season. When an unsaved person tells me they're happy, sure you are for a moment. For a little bit, for a short while, you can help yourself. You can artificially generate some kind of a temporary feeling based on the circumstance, and this will get you through. Enjoy. And it's always an amazement to me when you talk to unsaved people or people that aren't living in the Spirit. When they speak about happiness, it's like they're cooking something and they have to add all the right ingredients to make it so it's something good enough to eat. Okay? So, if I just had this possession, if I had this car, if I had this house, if I had this career, if I were in this relationship, if my relationships over here were better, if I could go enjoy this entertainment, if I could take that vacation, if I could eat at this restaurant, if I could drink some of this, if I could smoke some of this. And it's like they just keep adding ingredients, okay? Like a soup. And they try it. And they're like, nah, not it. Try some more of this. Try some more of that. And it's just a futile struggle of constantly trying to mix things and add things and come up with what's necessary. This is not the kind of joy that God gives. This is temporary. This is what the world has to offer. The world will tell you, I look for my joy, and I look for it from without. I have to go find it somewhere, and it's just elusive. If I can just do enough searching, I might be able to find it. Let's look. What does God's Word say? God's Word says that joy is found from within. From within. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has given us the Spirit. We have the fruits of the Spirit. We walk with the Lord daily. We can pray to Him, talk to Him. We can spend time in His Word. I don't have to go anywhere to do this. I don't have to have anything exciting. Daily life is plenty exciting for me. I probably have too much excitement. I could probably give some excitement back and be okay. Happiness, where does it come from? The Bible says that joy can come in our hearts. What if there's chaos around me? What if my circumstances aren't what they're supposed to be? Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here comes the verse. Not talking about touchdowns and home runs, but here it is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What are the all things? Abounding and abasing. Whatever God gives me, I can have joy. I can do that. I can do anything. Christ will empower me. Christ will enable me. Not because of something around me. Not because I got my way. Not because I got a recognized at work or I got a pay raise or something. The Lord gives me joy from within. The Lord gives me joy in my heart. Whatever happens, I can face this trial with joy. I can face this success with joy, abound or abase. Doesn't matter. The Lord gives me joy from within. I'm not searching for it. I'm not hoping that I can see it like Where's Waldo somewhere. I know that this joy is inside of me, and I don't have to do anything to find it. It's already there. I walk with the Lord, and it appears. I don't have to do anything. Now, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit. We can't grieve the Spirit. It's not going to work. If we're not living the Christian life the way the Bible says, the Bible talks about it. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God can't hear our prayers. If we're bitter, if we're speaking in anger to other people and we're not confessing our sins, then that's going to be gone. We know that true joy is something that God gives us. It's not something that we have to seek. All right, we're looking at sources of joy. And I want to know, where do you get your joy from? Which glass are you drinking out of? Question number two. How do you invest your time, talent, and treasure? How do you invest them? God has given us a life. We are stewards of what He's given us. He's given us abilities. He's given us opportunities. He hands them to us. And it's our job to use them for Him. The question is, of the things that God has given you, the resources, the time, how do you invest these? What do you need? What do you use them for? Let's talk about the world. What does the world use their time, talent, and treasure for? They have to be happy. We're going to go look for something that will make me feel good for the next 5 minutes. This is my effort. It doesn't take much discipline to be this. Or if I am disciplined, it's so I can have more later. But essentially, I'm going to get as much of this as I can. You only live once. I'm going to say the L word now. I'm going to hurt some people's feelings in this church. I know it. I know this church. Here comes the L word. It's going to hurt. You ready for it? You know what the world wants? And I think sometimes us as believers in this area, we fall for the same trap. Here goes. You ready? Luxury. We have to have it. It's not like I need this car. Oh, and I've heard this. Oh, you don't understand. This will make my family safer if I have this brand new car. So a car that's 2 years old doesn't make you safe. Who knows? I don't know. We have to have this. We need to have these. You don't understand how nice this car is. You don't understand how nice this house is. Boy, I could have all my relatives stay with me, and I'd have enough guest best rooms. I have to have this house. You don't understand. This will help. Oh, you don't understand. This TV, it curves. And stuff pops out in 3D. How can I? This isn't a luxury. Oh, I have to. There's no way I can live without this. This is what we have to have. Oh, the vacation is amazing. You should have seen the hotel. It was on top of a waterfall, and there was a water park coming out of the kitchen. And you could parachute and skydive and bungee jump. Oh, you have. Oh, this is it. This is. You know what's funny? People that have luxuries, they never call it luxuries, though. We don't call it that. No, this would be a real help to the family. Wink, wink. Sure it is. Close. What if the Lord gave you just enough money to shop at a secondhand shop, and that's all you could buy? Would you be able to survive? Would you still say that God is good if you didn't have whatever the, I want to say Louis Vuitton. Is that even a big name? I don't know. The stuff I wear, if it's brand new, usually it's from the Faded Glory. I think this is a good brand. Oh, I have to have this. Boy, we have to have these things. We have to have these luxuries. Don't get caught up in things and stuff. Things and stuff don't matter. They're temporary. When you're dead, no one's going to care about the shape of your TV set. No one's going to care if you have the latest iPhone, SZ, X, whatever. No one cares. In eternity, won't matter, okay? No one's going to be impressed by you. Maybe you can impress people here. In heaven, nobody cares. It doesn't matter. When you stand in God's presence, are we going to say to ourselves, you know what? If I could have just worked an extra shift to make a little bit more money and skip church, that was so worth it. I'm glad I did that. No, you're not going to say. You're not going to want less church. You're not going to want fewer services. You're not going to want less singing. All these things that we think this will just make me more happy. In heaven, you're going to be like, what was I thinking? I was drinking here, and I was drinking a big glass of that, and boy, that was a temporary fix, but that did not help me at all. Let's not get caught up in things and stuff. Christ warns us. He says, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupts, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. If you're collecting stuff that can be eaten by moth and rust, you're collecting all the wrong stuff. You're investing in all the wrong things. Now, I bought a computer this past week. I'm just counting down the days till I get my next virus. That's what computers are, right? Don't they always crash? Isn't there always something? Maybe it's just my computers. Mr. Harney says it's just me. I know. He's told me. He's rebuked me before. Thank you, brother. I need it. But how much of this life is temporary? And we think we're just, you know, this is just so important. It's not important. It doesn't matter who won the game. It really isn't. This world is like one of those styrofoam cups, okay? We're here, we have things that function, but once you step on a styrofoam cup, that's the end. You pitch it. And that's this life. This life is temporary. And these things that we have, it's great, okay? You want to enjoy something? That's fine. But I don't live for styrofoam cups. I know. Someone's going to step on it, and that'll be the end. These things in this world are so temporary. Don't get attached. Your home isn't here. This is only temporary. What are you investing in? You know what God commands us? Invest in eternity. You want to have joy? Put your investment where it can't be touched. Put your investment where it's safe. I can invest in the stock market. I might make money. I might lose money. Historically, I'll probably work out in the long run. I'll probably make some money, assuming the stock market doesn't go crazy again. You know what, though? I put my money in heaven. I put it in the plate, or I invest in others, or I take care of my family. You know what? 100% return every time. There's no thought about what's going to happen. I put my money in the plate, and I know God will take care of me. We need to be good stewards of what God has. Invest in eternity. And that our priorities are all backwards sometimes. What's more important, missions trips or vacations? You know, think about this. I think sometimes people are so excited about Disney World, and that's goofy to me. That wasn't even on purpose. But yeah, if this is the greatest thing you live for, is this really the number one? Now, I'm not condemning you. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to pull any Facebook posts down or anything like that. But I'm just saying, where's our joy when it comes to things that are spiritually and eternally significant? Are we still as excited as a place with funny rides and people dress up in silly costumes? Is this the most important thing in your life? Is it really? Is there nothing better in your life? This is a sad thing. You're missing this. You should be drinking this. Don't make yourself content with this. This is just temporarily here. God commands us to focus on eternity. I think about the rich young ruler. Christ says to him, sell everything and follow me. What happens? He leaves. How does he leave? The Bible says he leaves sad. He's depressed. The one thing he had, God wanted him to give it up. No, I can't give this up. I've got to drink some more of this dirty water. If God had called you to sell everything and to go to a mission field tomorrow, would you go? Think about it. I'm not going to let this point drop. Think about it. What do you have that would keep you from going to the mission field if God called you tomorrow? What's in your life that's more important? Is there anything? If there is, you need to get rid of it or put it back in check. Nothing in life will replace what God would give you. If you put God first, I will promise you this, 100% certainty, if you put God first, he will give you joy in his will. If you make him first, the Lord will sustain you. The Lord would give you the joy in what you would do. I would guarantee you right now, if you leave everything to follow Christ, if God had called you to leave here, you will be much happier there. And you'll think, why did I need all this stuff? What good was the Curve TV anyway? Why do I need all these things? This is useless. When we put God first, he rewards us. He gives us joys. What is your life about? Where do you invest your time? Where does all your time go? I know it's convicting for me because I love baseball. And is there a sport that wastes more time than baseball? I mean, those things are 4 hours, easy. And that's like the sixth inning or something. I don't know. And they play 5 to 6 times a week. And I think, this is great. I wish they could play on the off day a lot of times. But I will tell you this. If all my time is wrapped up in this, this is a mispriority. And this is not going to help my family. This is not going to help my ministry. Where does my time go? You know, joy is putting your time and your talent and your treasure and investing in eternity and not just spending it on yourself. All right, I've gone long enough on that one. I couldn't put that one down, though. That one, ooh, I know we need this one. All right, number three question. Where do I seek my joy from? We have the two choices. Here it goes. Who calls the shots in your life? Who makes the decisions? Who's the boss? Who makes the decisions for you? You know what the world says? Happiness is my control. Doing things my way. This is what I need right here. Control. This will bring me happiness if I'm in control. And you know what? It's not hard to find a controlling person. Especially if you have two, it's real fast because they'll conflict, right? We're doing this way. Oh, no, we're not. And you get two headstrong people in a room, and you can tell who the people are who aren't there to serve. Because they'll always give, nobody tells me that. Well, they need to. Control. Control does not bring happiness. I think even in parenting, when parents go nuts on their kids, why are they upset? Is it because they're doing things that are destructive? Are they doing things that are displeasing to God, or is it that you've defied me, and now I have to get back at you? This is not going to help your kids at all if it's about you, me versus you. In our life, you can be in control, but you won't be happy. I will tell you this. The more control you have, often the less happier you are. Control is something that we can give to God. But the person that's in control, you can always tell. Because when things don't go their way, they will throw a fit, right? Oh, no, no. That's unfair. I won't allow that around me. You've crossed me now. Now you're going to pay the price. I don't let you get away with that. Angry people are always control people. And they lack humility. It's about them, isn't it? Now, if we're ambassadors for Christ, we represent Christ, you do things that are wrong, I'm going to come to you and try to help you. What you're doing is destructive and hurtful. But I'm not going to take it personally. Because you've sinned against God, not me. This isn't about me. Life isn't about you. What you've done is hurtful, and this is hurting you, This is the opposite of what God wants, so it's not helping you. Okay, this is different than, why'd you do that? You don't do that around me, because it becomes all about me. Control people, it's always about them. And they're good as long as stuff goes their way. Stuff goes out of their goes outside their control, or stuff they don't want. People say things, people do things. They got to hang out with someone they think is a loser, perhaps. And boom, they blow their stack. It's just the end of the world. You can't do this to me. You can always tell someone who's control. They also the type, they keep score, right? Oh, you did this? Check, you're on the bad list now. Now, if it's about Christ in me, okay, and I'm not in control, I'm simply relaying the message, I'm an ambassador for Christ, and you do the opposite, well, that's God's problem. I'm not going to stay awake at night worrying about what you did or didn't do. That's between you and him. I don't have to carry a grudge around. I don't have to be bitter and be angry. Oh, I got to punish this person and that person and that person. No, no. If I'm truly putting God first and it's about him, then I don't have time. I'm trying to fix myself. I'm letting him run the universe, okay? We need to let God have control. If we want happiness, you can't be in control. And I will tell you this too. I've seen this a number of times, and it always strikes me. You take someone who's a humble servant. You have someone else who mistreats them and treats them wrong. The humble servant gets to the point where they're able to forgive and love them the way Christ loves them. Maybe they've brought the problem to the attention of people. Maybe nothing can be done. Maybe something can be done. But it's been dealt with. They've talked to the person, perhaps, and they can't do no more. This person is hurtful over here. The person loves. Christ goes through you, not your love. Christ loves through you. And you love that person that's wronged you. Not that you're trying to punish them. You give up punishment. You leave it to the Lord. You know what always happens to this person over here? When you give it to Christ and you show love for them, you pray for them the way Christ said, love your enemies, pray for them. You know what happens to this person? And I've seen this a number of times. This person over here, they've wronged the believer. They're defiant. And the believer chooses to love them. This person that's doing all the causing all the hurt, I've seen this a number of times. Their life will fall apart. It's like clockwork. And I've been there too. There's been times when I've been wronged. And people have done things that have been hurtful to me. Now, I've done hurtful things to other people too, so I'm not saying I'm better than this. But when I came to the point where I said, Lord, I've tried telling the person, they're not interested. All I can do is love them and pray for them. And immediately, this was several years of trying to punish this person. Immediately, I give it to the Lord. This person's life just crumbles. What is that? That's the Lord handling it. That's not me. I can't make this person see their sin. I can only control me. No, control is a terrible thing. When you're a control person, you have to control people. And you have to control circumstance, okay? And you can't hang out with this person. Here it is. You ready for it? This is my week, I think. The Holy Spirit's got something for you here. I have to avoid this person because they will talk too long. Yeah? Did I get you with that one? This is me, I think to myself. If I talk to them, it will take too much time. You know what? Whose time is it? Is it my time or is it God's time? Sometimes the best thing you can do is sit there and listen. Listening sometimes is the most healing thing that a believer needs, another person to listen to them. I don't need to be in control. I don't need to control people. I don't need to control things, stuff, circumstance. You know what control gets you? Fatigue. Controlled people are always worn out because it takes a lot of energy to run everything and keep track of everything. Don't be a control person. Give it up. Let the Lord have it. Let the Lord be in control. He'll do a better job than you anyway. You'll just mess things up, okay? Let the Lord have those things. You do your part and say, I've done what I can, Lord. It's up to you. I fulfill my responsibility. I haven't been neglectful, but I've done what I can, and I hand this to you, and the Lord will take it. The Lord will do great things. And you'll be surprised, and you'll be able to rest. You'll have sleep. When you give up bitterness, your pillow will become softer, won't it? It will save you a lot of anxiety and a lot of inability to rest. Rest is found in God. Happiness is when he's in control. All right, so we looked at control. Who's in control? Who calls the shots in your life? We say, the world, you're in control. However, what does the Lord say? I'll tell you what God says. God says you can show faith by accepting the obstacles I put in your life. Show some faith. Trust me. I'm making all the right calls. Believe me. I know what's happening. I know what was said. I know what was done. This is not a shock to me at all. Let me handle this, okay? Let me take it from here. What does James say? We think about James. He talks about trials and tests. What's your attitude? Count it all joy. Is this always easy to do? It's not, is it? Our flesh wants to rise up against this and chafe against God's hand moving in our life. If it's something good, we accept it, right? If God is good, then we praise the Lord. If God gets something bad, oh, no, no, I don't trust you now. We only trust him when he does good stuff. Have you ever noticed that? It's our own selfish interest at heart. Trust me, I'll take care of things. You know, each day I have a list of things I try to do. I have all my priorities, and sometimes I make it into an order list or different ways of organizing it, but I have what I think are my top priorities for that day. And has this ever happened to you? I start out with this long list of priorities, and I am working down that list, and I have it organized according to times and who will be in the office and who won't and what task takes more time, what task takes less time. And I mean, it's a thing of beauty to see, believe me. Anyway, I get through, I have like 10 things, and I get through like thing number 4 or 5, and I am flying. It's like not even 10 o'clock yet, maybe. And I'm getting through all these things, and I think, the Lord has given me victory today. And then it always happens. The bomb goes off. This happened to you? Somebody comes to you with a problem or something breaks down, or your kid gets sick, and you're like, where's my list? No. And the list kind of blows off in the wind. And it's like the Lord, and he's got your life. And sometimes I think the Lord thinks our life is like an Etch-a-Sketch, and he's shaking it. Here you go. Now start over again. And you're like, why did this have to happen? You know what, though? The Lord knows what the real priorities are, doesn't he? I think I know what the top 10 things are, but they're the top 10 things for Micah to do, right? And the Lord is like, no, that's not what I have for you today. You've missed the list. You've got the wrong list. I'm going to change your list. I'm going to grab this Etch-a-Sketch, and I'm going to shake it up real good. There you go. That's what I have for you. And the Lord can redirect us. Now, if I'm walking in the Spirit, and the Lord is enabling me and helping me, then I go with it. Okay, well, what's next? I don't know. This list isn't going to work because I won't be around. Tear up the list, or we'll put it on tomorrow's list maybe. What does the Lord have for me today? And the Lord can redirect you. How many times has it happened where the Lord redirects you, and you bump into someone in need, and they needed you that day? And they had something to say, or they had a burden, or they needed to tell you something that you needed to hear, and maybe you didn't want to hear it, but you know, that's what the Lord has to tell me today. And this happens frequently. Or the Lord changes your schedule, and you're trapped in a room, and there's an unsafe person, and they open up their heart to you, and you're like, this was my chance. This is what the Lord had. The Lord knew I needed to shake things up. The Lord knew my agenda was the wrong agenda. Okay, I had all the wrong priorities, but the Lord gave me the right priorities. When the Lord changes your life, don't panic. Let him be in control. Let him set the agenda, okay? Believe me when I tell you this, and we all know this in concept, but in practice, he knows a whole lot more than you. Did you know this? He created the universe. He knows more. Let him be in control. Joy is found when we let God control us, and we let him set the priority. And I don't have to try to manipulate or punish people or make the final decision for everyone else. No. I say, Lord, you know what? You know what's best. I'm gonna fly solo here, okay? I'll turn off my instruments, and wherever you guide me, I'm just going to go there. You'll be surprised the places that you end up and the adventure and just the joy that God will bring you, even when you don't suspect it. So today we're talking about joy. Believers, where are you seeking your joy from? Is this it right here? I hope this isn't it. This will never satisfy. Creator of the universe gave this to you. Are you drinking this? This will last for all eternity. This is here forever. This doesn't come and go. This is peace and rest right here. My burden, your burden is easy. My yoke is light. This is what I want. Where are you seeking your joy today? Do you believe that God can give you meaning and fulfillment if you trust in him? Let's bow our heads.